you have your Bible this morning, be turning over to Psalm chapter number 139. Psalm chapter 139. I want to say this while I'm finding it in my Bible. I was thinking about Peter the other day when he was going. The Bible said he was sinking, and it said the Lord caught him. And I had this thought that when Peter was going down, the whole time the Lord was going up. We saw him on top of the waves. The Bible said he came walking to him on the sea. And when you think about it in your life, when you was going down, I'm going to tell you where he was going. And he was going up. He was going to a hill called Calvary. And he was going there to die for your sin and to die for my sin. And I thank him for that this morning, that he's able to save those who would call on his name. I want to look at a little thought the Lord has given me. I want to thank him for camp meeting. Thank him for the preaching that he sent to us. The Bible said this. It said he sent preaching to save those that will believe. And I thank him that he's able to do that through preaching. We live in a day where the Bible's not preached, the Bible's not taught. People have turned away from the Bible. They start doing it under their own power and their own performance. And God has withdrawn himself from the church. Thank God that we can let him in. The book of Revelation chapter 3 said he stood at the door and knocked and wanted to come in. But thank God he's able to come in to us this morning. I want to look at Psalm chapter number 139 this morning. And I want to look at some thoughts. And I call this the He Knows Me chapter. He knows me. See, a lot of times we think God's way out there. And we know that God holds the whole universe in the palm of His hands. But it's even greater than that. Not only does He hold the universe in His hands, but I tell you what He holds in His hands. He holds me. Not only does He hold me, He holds you. He's got you right there and snuggled up. And I'm reading after one writer, he said, "Thou hast known all." And He has. We know He's an omniscient God and He knows everything. He knows the beginning before He knows the ending before the beginning ever got started. He knew Jesus was going to have to go to the cross. It was not a plan B. It was not something that caught Him by surprise. He knew the ending before the beginning ever got cranked up. But he said here, "Thou hast known all, but Thou hast known me." And you can take great comfort, child of God, that the God of heaven knows you. He's called you. He's wrote you wrote your name down in heavenly places today. And He's got your name written down. And He's not going to leave you forsaken. The Bible said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." And I can take great comfort in that this morning. There's been times when I thought I was all alone and I was by myself. But guess who was right there? It was Him. He was right there beside me. And I'm going to tell you, when He's 4 days late, He's still on time this morning. And you may give up on Him, but I tell you what, He ain't gave up on you. And He's walking right by your side. I want to read some verses here found in Psalm 139 about David and what David said. He said in Psalm chapter 139, verse number 1, he said, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high, I cannot attain to it." Verse number 7, "Whether shall I go from Thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there." Looks like you can't get away from Him, if you ask me. No matter where you go, as far as you can go to the north, as far as you can go to the south, as far as you can go to the east, and as far as you can go to the west, you can't escape from His presence. And you can take great comfort in that this morning. Verse number 13, it says, "For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Verse 17, "How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." The psalmist David said, if you took account of all the thoughts of God had toward us, he said it would be a great sum. He didn't number it. I praise God this morning that He didn't put that number on it, because I thought He'd already passed that number if I'd have known what it is. But the psalmist David said it was a great sum of how God thought upon His children and how He thought upon men. You see, we serve a holy God, and by His justice and by His mercy, He didn't have to come to us. He didn't have to think about us. But I'm going to tell you, He loved you enough to think about you, and He wants to be involved with your everyday life. He wants to be in the intimate times with you. He wants to be there with you. Verse number 22, verse 23, it says this. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting." Let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I need Your help this morning, Lord. Lord, I have no ability. Lord, I have no talents, O God. Lord, I'm so unworthy, Lord, to even read out of Your Bible this morning, Lord. But I thank You for calling me, Lord. Lord, I thank You for saving me, Lord. Lord, I thank You, Lord, for these thoughts, O God. Lord, I pray, Lord, You'd use them in the hearts and lives of Your people here this morning, Lord. And we'll give You all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here David is talking about God, and David is speaking to God, and he was like man speaking to God, and he said, "Thou art acquainted with all my ways." And every time I read this, I always entitled it, "He knows me." And I want you to know today that He knows you. He knows the Bible said He knows how many hairs of your head are numbered, and some of you got numbered a little more than some of us. So it didn't take Him as long to count mine up as He may have had some of y'all's. But I thank God that I can take comfort in that this morning, that God knows me. He knows my very being. He knows where I'll be at today. He knows where I was at yesterday. He knows where I'll be at tomorrow. He's not giving up on me. He'll be there. He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." But not only that, not only do we have somebody that's by our side, the Bible said He knows our thoughts far off. Before we even think something, God already knows about it. Before we even do anything, God already knows about it. Before you get out in your car in the morning, guess what? He already knows about it. When you lay down on your pillow tonight, guess what? He knows about it. When you got up this morning, guess what? He was there. He knew the power was off this morning when we came into this building. It didn't catch Him by surprise. He wanted to prove to us how powerful He was, and He wanted to know if we trust in Him. And about that time, the lights came on. Thank God He knows that before we even think about it. Praise God for that. David lays down a great doctrine in this passage of Scripture that God, whom He has a perfect knowledge of us, and the motions and actions, both of our inward and outward man, are naked and open before Him. He knows us this morning. And if you can take great comfort in that God knows you. He knows me. He knows your kids. When I can't take care of my son, guess who can take care of him? When you can't take care of your mama and your daddy, there's somebody that can. And when you can't take care of your spouse, there's somebody that can. So there's going to be hurts and there's going to be pains that you're going to have to go through. And I'm going to tell you, even though you can't explain it and you can't understand it, and there's some things that you're not going to be able to understand, I got more questions this morning than I got answers, for sure. But I tell you who understands. And I tell you who you can take it to. You can take it to Him. The Bible said, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. A lot of times we don't cast our care on Him like we ought to. The Bible said that those cares are distractions. Those are things that takes us away from God. We ought to cast them upon Him this morning. First of all, I want you to know, and that was the introduction, but first of all this morning, I want you to see that first of all is a purposed path. It is a purposed path. And I don't have no book by that wrote that book about the purpose-driven life. I don't know what his name is. I hadn't got anything like that. All I've got is the book called the Bible. And I want to say this morning. I heard a guy saying something about the Bible. He said, "This is the Bible for English-speaking people." I'm going to tell you, this ain't the Bible for English-speaking people. You know what it is? This is the Word of God. This is the only Bible. It's not just for English-speaking people. It's for everybody. The older man or the younger man is for everybody. And no matter what origin, and no matter where you come from, we still have the Word of God. And that's what this is. Thank God He gave us a Word. You'll see that it is a purpose path. Look down in verse number 2. It says, "Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." It said this in verse 3. "Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways." That word compasses is a great word. And that compasses means to surround. It's a term that, if you look that up in the Greek, it means the word winnowist. And the word winnowist is used when the wheat, if you're in that field of work, that's where they would use the word winnowist. And what it would be like a fan They would take a fan, and they'd take that fan and blow it upon that wheat. And as they blow that fan upon that wheat, what it would do is would divide the chaff from the wheat. It would take that chaff and drive it away. But see, the grain of wheat would actually stick to that stalk, but that chaff would be blown away. And that, what it was saying there in that text was that God compasses His path. God has got a fan about your path, and He's shaking that fan, and He's driving things away that you can't see. He's clearing it out for you. There's a little road down about where I live, you know, and it used to be a road that we could drive all the way around through the property and come out on the other side as a big horseshoe. But I tell you what happened over time, that path began to grow up. We used to bush hog that path at least twice a year that went through that property, and we'd drive our truck through there. We could drive our four-wheelers through there. We could drive anything in there that we wanted to. But I tell you what we did. We let that path grow up. But I tell you what, God, you ought to take great comfort in this, that God is out there before you. He's out there behind you, and He's there shaking His fan. He's winnowing us away to all the stuff that was coming at you, and He's clearing a path out for you so you can walk through it safely. It's a purpose path. God, He takes great pleasure in doing that for you. And a lot of times we don't understand that, and I wouldn't be the first to tell you that I did and understand it to full extent, but I'm glad we have a God in heaven that's out there. He's taking that fan, and He's clearing that way so we can get through to the other side. It's a purpose path. Job said this. He said, on the left hand where He doth work, in Job 23:9, on the left hand where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand that I cannot see Him. Did He say this in 23:10? He said, but He knoweth the way that I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knoweth the way that I take. You see, when you stepped out this morning, you came to this church, guess what? God knew which way you was going. And He had that fan out there, and He was blowing it, and He was shaking it, and He was spreading that path and clearing that way to get things out of your way that you knew that you couldn't handle, that you couldn't walk through by yourself. It's a purpose path. Not only you see it's a purpose path, but secondly, you'll see it's a powerful protection. Look down in verse number 5. It says, Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. Thank God He's laid His hand on us. I was reading after one old writer there, and that he laid His hand on me, and I couldn't get anything. This is what he said, though. He said it was like a physician. And you know, when in the old times, the doctor, he'd come in the room, the first thing he's going to do is going to take your blood pressure, and he's going to take your heartbeat. He's going to see how your heart's performing to see what ailments you have. And a lot of times when you go to the doctor today, what the first thing they'll do is they'll do that same thing. They'll take that blood pressure, and then they'll listen to your heart, and they'll listen to your chest to see what's ailing you. And it was, the writer said this, he said it was as a physician looking upon his patient, and he's putting his hand upon his patient to feel his very heartbeat to see what's wrong. It's a powerful protection. You see, God is doing things before us that we couldn't understand. I remember one time, I'll tell you a story. When I was a young kid, and I think I was in the ninth grade, I wasn't even old enough to drive. My friends and I was building a homecoming float there for the school, and we began to build that float, and they put flowers on it, and they make those flowers on the side of those homecoming floats out of chicken wire and out of tissue. And they would take that floral wire and hook it to that chicken wire, and that's what made those flowers on the side of it. Well, they run out of floral wire, and they sent a group of us teenage boys uptown. You know that ain't good already. So we walked from the Piggly Wiggly up into downtown Roanoke. A lot of y'all may know where the Big Chick is there. It was in that area right there. Anyway, there was a tattoo parlor there on the side, on the corner there, and one of the boys said, hey, let's go look in the window. So all of us in ninth grade, we did like everybody would. We was wanting to see what was going on. So we went up in there and we looked in the window, and you saw all the signs that said you got to be 18 years old to come in this place. And we was just trying to see what was going on. And then one of the boys got a thought. He said, well, we'll just knock on the window and see what happens. He knocked on the window, nothing happened. So he knocked on it again. And guess what? Nothing happened. He knocked on it again, and guess what? We heard some screaming and some yelling coming, and there was a guy approaching the front of the store when we was outside. And so all of us did like any of y'all would have done. We took off and ran. And I remember running down this alleyway, And I was a little more heftier than I am now. I know I'm not looking that much in shape, but I was hefty. And I could not run those other boys. They was faster on foot than I was. And no matter what I did, I couldn't catch up. And I said, well, we didn't do anything wrong with this guy. I'll just stop. When I stopped, I was right there in front of the big chick. There's a big alleyway there. And you turn right, and there's a big chick. When I turned right, and I looked back like this, here come a guy. And he had long hair. He had skulls drawn down his pants. And the first thing he did, he grabbed me up by the neck and put a knife to my throat. In the ninth grade. But I want to tell you this. I stand here today because of God's protection. I stand here today. That guy let me go. I went back down there. I stood in front of the store where the police officers were there. And you say, well, you can't get in trouble like that. I'm telling you, these teenagers today, they're facing things that we have no idea about. I can tell my stories, you know, and times where God has protected me. Man having a knife to your throat is something serious. I had to call the police to come up there, and the guy apologized, you know, and he made remorse, you know. But I'm going to tell you this, God, it wasn't that man could, you ought to get great comfort in this, even though he had his knife up to his throat, there was a boy that wasn't saved yet. There was a boy that needed to be saved out in the future. I didn't know it. I couldn't see it, but I'm going to tell you what, there was a hand of protection between that knife and my throat, and God was protecting me, and he had me reserved and set aside for a different time. And thank God, he knows when you're going through things like that, and we all could tell stories like that, and the hand of God's protection was around you, and it couldn't touch you, and the devil couldn't get you, and nothing could touch you because he had done protected you with the palm of his hand. Thank God, it's a powerful protection. That word, powerful protection, I want you to know God has deliverance for you. The word deliver means to save or to rescue, to come between. I want you to look in Psalm chapter number 18. We'll read some verses there found in Psalm chapter number 18. It says this in Psalm chapter number 18, verse number 1. I want you to look at all the... I got two chapters in here I want us to look at in the book of Psalms where the psalmist David was delivered. And I took this word deliver, which means to save or to rescue. And that's what God did me that night. He took that guy's hand and would not let him come through across my throat because he delivered me. This is what it says in Psalm chapter 18, verse number 1. It said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my strength, in whom will I trust? My buckler, the horn of my salvation and my high tower. It says this in verse 17. He said, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. Verse 19. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Verse number 43, thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people and hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. Verse number 48 says, he delivered me from my enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me and hast delivered me from the violent man. Verse number 50 says, great deliverance giveth he to his king and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and his seed forevermore. I'm here to tell you, God has delivered us. You say, well, I'm going through a whole lot right now and you don't understand it and it don't look like he's delivered me. I'm telling you, he has delivered you. If he's called you out and he's saved you, the psalmist David said over in Psalm chapter number 40, he said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and has set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I'm telling you, he has delivered you. And you ought to rejoice in that this morning. That psalm was written there when David was fleeing from Saul's hand. Saul was always after David. Saul was jealous of David. And Saul sought to kill David. And David would not touch Saul. But Saul was ready to kill David at any time. And I'm going to tell you who delivered him. It was God himself that delivered David out of the hand of Saul. Look over in Psalm chapter number 34. It says, here in Psalm chapter number 34 is another psalm by David. And he's written at the time, if you want to read where he's written it, he's written it at the time, and it's found in 1 Samuel chapter number 21, when David was found over there in the land of the Philistines. Saul was chasing David. And there you'll read the account of where Abimelech, the priest, had come to David. And David's men was hungry. And David's men needed to be fed. And he was much like us. He had needs just like we do. And I tell you what happened. There, Abimelech came to David, and Abimelech was afraid. And David said, "We need something to eat." And all that was left was the showbread. And let me tell you what Abimelech did. He said, "Are y'all clean?" He asked them if they was clean, and they was clean. And David said, we can eat this showbread." And David ate the showbread. And you know, the showbread was only set aside for the priest and his family. It was not to be taken by a common man, but David partook of it. And there in the assembly there that day, you'll read of a man that was there from Saul. His name was Doeg, the Edomite. And what was he going to do? He was there to get David. But I tell you what the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 21. It said he detained of the Lord. He was detained of the Lord. That word detained means he was shut up. He was stopped by the Lord. That was great deliverance there this day. And out of that, later on in that chapter, you'll see where David stood before King Achish. Who was he? He was the king of Gath. Where was Gath? You remember Goliath, overfound in 1 Samuel chapter 17? He was a great champion that David had slain there. And he was the guy they raised up to defy the armies of Israel. And so the king of Achish, you know, saw David, and he repeated what those women had said after King David had slain Goliath. He said, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000." And they was mocking David there in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And David was sore afraid because he had defeated this champion of the Gath. And there he was before them as a little boy and being afraid. This is what David pinned down in Psalm chapter number 34. We'll begin reading in verse number 4. He said, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." Verse 7, he said, "The angel of the Lord encamp about the, round about them that fear him, and delivereth them." Verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Thank God it don't say some. The Bible says all. You may be walking somewhere this morning, and you think he's not going to deliver you. I said already, he will deliver you. Verse number 18, it said, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit." Verse 19, it says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." Thank God he is a deliverer. He is a powerful protection. Not only do you see he's a powerful protection, he has a promised presence. Look back in our text and found in Psalm chapter 139. Look in verse number 7. Says this. He said, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there." David said this. He said, "Don't matter where I go, I can't get away from him." And you ought to take great comfort in that this morning, that wherever you go, you can't get away from him. Because see, he's got protection with him. And he's got a promised presence that's always there. He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Thank God when you say, "Well, God is a spirit." I know he is. We're made in the likeness of God. God created man in the likeness of himself. And I'm going to tell you this. Thank God he has a promised presence. You see, just because we can't see God doesn't mean he's not there. Just because we don't see God doesn't mean he's not there. You think about that. A lot of times you say, "Well, you're by yourself up there this morning." Well, I tell you what, there's somebody that's with me this morning. You say, "Well, you mess up a lot." Well, I'm just doing the best I can. But thank God I've got somebody with me this morning. And you may not see him, but I'll tell you what, he's there. And he's walking by my side. Thank God he's got a promised presence. David said, "If I go up into heaven, he's there." He said, "If I go down in hell, guess what? He's there. I'm taking him with me." Thank God we can take him with us wherever we go. Not only do you see he's got a promised presence, but he sees us as a prized possession. We're a prized possession. The psalmist David said, "Keep me as the apple of thine eye." You know what that means? A lot of times we say, "She's the apple of my eye." That means we got all our attention on her. But God's got all his attention on us. You know, we're a prized possession. You see, if you want to read about the devil over in Ezekiel chapter 28, I don't have time to do that this morning. In verse 14, you can read about him. You see, the devil was the anointed cherub. He was an anointed cherub. The God had set him aside. He was the angel of music there up in heaven. I think he was a choir leader, Brother Tim, and he led the music. Why do you think there's so much confusion coming out of music today? Because Satan's got in that thing, and he's pumping people's minds full of the world's music, and they're doing what the world does. And they've got their mind pumped and primed full of it, and that's all they know to do because of the music. The Bible said in the book of Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? And I'm going to tell you, you can't sing godly songs and have worldly songs because they don't agree. A lot of times we want to mix that stuff in, but can two walk together except they be agreed? A prized possession. We are the apple of His eyes. Not only that, you're a prized possession. I want you to, before I move on, I want you to get this. When God looked down on us, and the devil was up there in heaven with him, and he saw man that he had created there in the Garden of Eden. You think about this. He saw that glisten in God's eye when he looked upon Adam. He said, I love him. He said, one of these days I'm going to die for him. And old devil got jealous, and he was pumped up in pride because God was looking on man. And that pride will always bring you low. Always. And it brought the devil low. The Bible said in Ezekiel 28, he was lifted with pride. Not only a prized possession, we're a personal possession. Thank God He owns us. It said this in verse number 13. It says, Thou hast possessed my reins and covers me from my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy words, and that my soul may knoweth right well. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thank God He owns us this morning. Jeremiah, that word reins there means organs. God knows the very intricacy of our organs. And a lot of times people use this in with the pro-life situations. This verse right here is found. And you think about old Jeremiah. He said, when thou wast in the belly, I was with thee. When I was in the womb, thou hast sanctified thee. And then he said this, and I have made thee a prophet to the nations. Thank God, before we was even formed, God knew us. And He said, that's my possession. And He's my personal possession, and I've set Him aside. I told you the story. The guy had a knife to my throat. I tell you what I was a personal possession of God, and He could not do that which He wanted to do because there was God standing between me and Him. And thank God He saw me as a personal possession. John chapter 10, verse 27 says this, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which have given to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You can stand assured this morning that no man, no trick of the devil can pluck you out of His hand this morning. You stand secure. You stand redeemed. Thank God we're standing upon a rock. Thank God He's our foundation. Not only you'll see we're a prized possession, a personal possession, but lastly, I'll leave you this. He's taken us to the land of perfect peace. He said this in verse 24 in Psalm chapter 139. Let's get 23. We'll be closing down. It says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That way everlasting, you know what that is? That's a land of perfect peace. You say, where are you going when you die? I'm going to a land of perfect peace. You say, where is that? It ain't here on this earth, I can tell you that. It's in heaven. It's reserved in heaven for you. The book of Peter says, thank God there's a perfect peace to the child of God. I'll leave you one quote as I close down this morning. Charles Spurgeon, he said this. He said, what's the way everlasting? This is what he said. He said, it's a holy life, a happy death, and a heaven to crown it all. And I agree with him totally. Thank God we can have perfect peace because I tell you, it's a holy life. It's a happy death. You say, well, how can the saint of God that's dying, how can they be in perfect peace? God's given them grace for that. See, God gives you grace and then He gives you peace. See, peace is something only God gives you. He said, My peace I leave unto thee, not as the world giveth. Thank God for perfect peace. I'm going to that land one day. Thank God He knows me this morning. Thank Him that it's a purpose path. Thank Him that it's a powerful protection. It's a promised presence. It's a prized possession. It's a personal possession. But thank God it's a perfect peace. And I'm glad I belong to that country over there. One of the greatest compliments I ever have paid in my life. My wife was getting her hair cut, and she said, your husband, he's one of those ambassadors. She didn't know what to say. She meant to say he's a preacher, but she said he's an ambassador. I said, praise God, I'm an ambassador. You say, what is an ambassador? You know what he is? He's a representative of a foreign country. And I'm here this morning standing before you, and I'm a representative of a foreign country. Thank God he's called me to that. And one of these days I'll leave this world, and they may roll my body down here in a casket, but I tell you what I'll be. I'll be in a land of perfect peace. Praise God. Thank you all this morning.